Oh, it's Monday afternoon again, and this is Judy Duke. And I'm so glad that you're listening in as you're cooking your supper or dinner, if you call it that, or if you're driving home from work or whatever you're doing. I'm just thrilled on this fine Monday that you're listening to Local Matters. I have in the studio with me. Golly, there's so many things I could say about this lady. She is, first of all, a fashionista of the first degree. She is a lovely lady, and she's very political. She's a retired school teacher, and her name happens to be Lori McCall. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you so much, Judy. I'm just delighted to be here.
Well, I'm delighted that you're here with me this afternoon. You're another one of those I've been trying to track down. To come in and we talk about you. And I know, I believe you were born and raised in Chattanooga.
I was, yes.
And your family had a well-known concrete business.
That's right. J.W. Massey Concrete Contracting. My grandfather started that way back in 1900. Actually, he also started Chattanooga Tile Company in the late 1890s. And then my father took over the business in 1950.
Okay. All mm-hmm. right. So we're from old money?
We were comfortable.
Okay. I had to just tease you there a little bit. But that's wonderful that you can go back. Your granddaddy started two companies and then your father. And then when he passed, what happened? Did somebody else in the family take over?
No. Unfortunately, no.
Oh, that is too bad. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should have done that. I think you could have done it. That's for sure. You have many different degrees. Tell me about some of those. I know you went to a girls' preparatory school.
I did. And then I went on to Georgetown College in Kentucky, small Baptist college, a little bit north of Lexington. I first visited Georgetown when I was in the eighth grade, and with our minister of education at First Baptist Church and his wife, and I just fell in love with the rolling hills. And the
bluegrass, right?
Oh, yes. And the ancient buildings covered with ivy. And so when it was time for me to go with my parents to look for colleges, I did. We took the college tour all over the South, but I had left my heart at Georgetown.
So you've got your undergraduate degree from Georgetown.
That's right. And then I got a master's at Tusculum and my EDS, education specialist, at Lincoln Memorial.
You could be a principal of a school if you chose to.
Yes.
Because of your, what is it now?
Well, the education specialist.
Specialist. Yes.
I could, but I really didn't especially want to deal with the central office and the parents and the state and everything. My joy was in the classroom.
Okay. And that's what makes a good teacher. You were an elementary school teacher,
right?
Correct? What
mm-hmm.
grades did you teach?
Kindergarten, second, fourth, and fifth. I loved every single minute of my 25 years.
And you retired after the 25 years?
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, then you had four children.
Yes.
And when did you decide you, as you call Cookeville, your Mayberry? She has a necklace on that I've never seen her without it, and it says Mayberry. So, Lori, you moved from Chattanooga, which is a lovely city, to
yes.
Cookeville. For what reason?
Well, I lived in our family home, which was built in 1923. My grandparents had it built, and I just loved it so much, and I loved Chattanooga, and I told my daughters that they were just going to have to carry me out of my beloved home, our beloved family home. Cookeville was just too tiny. There was no symphony, no opera. I just didn't think that I could bear it. Well, one evening in March of 15, the Lord just put it on my heart that I needed to move. Our family home was huge with the 12-foot ceilings. And I thought, well, I do need to move. And I started thinking, well, about condominiums nearby. And I thought, well, now, Lord, to where could I move? And I thought and thought, and then he put it on my heart, what about Cookeville? Move to Cookeville. And I thought, oh, that's just an excellent idea. I'm moving to Cookeville.
Just out of nowhere.
That's right. And I called my daughters the next morning, and they just screamed. And I tell everyone this because it's one of my many, many testimonies at how the Lord can completely, completely change your heart, even when it's just so stubbornly set on one thing. And
oh, you're not a stubborn person, are you?
A little bit, yes. I'm very,
just a tad.
I'm very, very type A.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I am. But I have never, ever looked back. And I am so happy in Cookeville. And I do call it my little Mayberry. And everyone says, oh, well, it used to be Mayberry 30 or 40 years ago. But to me, it's still, it is compared to Chattanooga.
And it, it has a hometown flair, even though we have been growing by leaps and bounds. It's not as big as Chattanooga by any means, but it's a nice town.
Yes.
To live in. There's all kinds of, and there is a symphony here, you found out.
Yes. Yes. I have. Exactly. So
there's many more things here in this town that people aren't aware of when they first come and look at it, and then they see our parks, they realize that our schools are good schools and all. And it, I'm glad it's your Mayberry. Oh. I'm glad you were led to come here. Which of the grades that you taught was your most favorite?
Well, Judy, it was always the grade that I was teaching.
Okay, so it was, you couldn't pick one out of all the kindergarten, fourth, fifth grade, whatever.
No, I could not.
Well,
I loved every single one of them. It was always, you know, a couple of years in each one, and I could not say.
No. Do you miss that now that you're retired?
Well, I really don't, because I have five grandchildren now, and I'm always teaching them. My granddaughter, Elizabeth, said, Mimi, you always take such a long time to give us the answer to something. And so I said, well, Mimi used to be a teacher. And so I do feel like I have to thoroughly explain something to them, but they love it. And
well,
so
you
once
are
a teacher,
very active with your grandchild, I can see on Facebook, and I know you, you have taken your two out of three, your two oldest grandchildren, girls, to some wonderful places to expose them to, let's see.
The Biltmore, the Greenbrier, and everywhere I can take them. I'm still a little girl at heart and have just as much fun as they do.
Oh, I'm sure you do. And what is so fascinating, and I love this, and I said you were a fashionista, and my goodness, you are. I've never seen you when you didn't, whether you were at the swimming pool in your bathing suit and your high heels. She is a high heel wearer, let me tell you. Stilettos. You know, you're not comfortable in a pair of flat shoes.
Well, not really.
No, I knew. See, you can tell. I have another friend who wore high heels for years and years while she was teaching, and her feet hurt now if she does not have on something that's got a heel to it. I think you train yourself, I guess, almost. I'm just the opposite. I have weak ankles from basketball, in my younger days, if you can believe that. So I don't do well with heels now. Not high ones anyway. I'm afraid I'll break a leg or something for a heel.
Well, I'm not in pain, but I just feel so sloppy and casual.
Well, I've seen you in flats, but that's what makes you the fashionista. And you remind me of Barbara Bush because, yes, she's pointing to these beautiful white beads that she wears all the time, even with the bathing suit. I've seen you wear them. Do you ever take them off?
Only to go to bed.
And only to go to bed.
And in the bath.
And in the bath. Okay. Do you just like beads? Do those have some special significance to you?
Well, I just think they're so flattering. And I read an article maybe 25 years ago in our Chattanooga newspaper, and some man, a fashion critic, had said, oh, women, stay away from pearls. They're so aging. And I thought, what in the world? You know, I'm not going to follow that advice. I just think they're just so flattering.
Well, they are to you.
They are to me.
They really are to you. I can't imagine seeing you without your beads. Lord, we're going to take a break right here. We're going to let our sponsors talk to you about their products and so on and so forth. You folks out there in radio land, listen up and support us. And we'll be back here shortly talking some more with Lori McCall.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
We are back talking with Lori Massey McCall, and who moved to Cookeville under the direction of God, she says, and I believe that. And okay, we talked about your degrees and the fact that you are a fashionista. I happen to know that you are very political. And anybody else that's on Facebook that has you as a friend knows that you're very political. And I think that's great. More power to you. I do know that you are very outspoken about your feelings. And don't just nod your head at me.
Okay. Yes. Well, I think our president has just done so much for our country. And I was blessed to live and observe President Reagan's two terms in office. And I think that our president now is so much like President Reagan. I grew up in a political home, and one of my aunts was quite the Democrat, and just thought that FDR and Eleanor hung the moon, and my daddy and mother were always Republicans. Well, my Aunt Lucy would come for dinner, and then after dinner, my brothers and I would be sent to bed, and then the political discussions would ensue downstairs.
And I bet you could hear them all.
Yes. Well, my brothers would go to sleep, but I would creep to the top of the stairs and listen to every word when I was 5 or 6 or 7. And they would discuss. There was no arguing or no raised voices or anything, but They would discuss Estes Kefauver and McNamara, and I loved that.
So you took, based on your growing up years, that in itself has given you a love for politics. Would you run for office?
Oh, I think I'm more of a cheerleader.
Okay, so you'd rather be a cheerleader than to be a leader in that respect?
Yes, I believe so.
You believe so. Yes. I think that it's entirely possible that you could run for an office of some sort, maybe the school board, since you've been a teacher. But then again, you would, never mind about that, you know, because you put yourself out there, you've got to expect the criticism. And there's been a lot of criticism in the last few years, but there's always been criticism of our presidents one side or the other.
Yes.
Sometimes it gets nasty.
Oh, I know. Yes.
And so,
I always took my children to vote. Right. Well, I had my four children in less than 5 years. And even though they were tiny, I always took them when I went to vote, and I never missed an election. In fact, when I went away to college in Kentucky, I was only 17, but I knew that I would have my 18th birthday in September, and then I would be able to vote in November. So I applied for my absentee ballot, so I would be able to vote for the first time when out of state. And it was that important to me. So when my children were small, I always took them to let them see how easy it was to vote, because so many people say, oh, I have to stand in line and it's so hard and I don't know what to do. But I took my little children every single time.
Every time. So it's being passed on through your children to your grandchildren, and how many more generations will only future will tell that.
Yes,
but
indeed.
I think that's wonderful. I have had military people on my show, and I think it's so important that we teach our children, as a former teacher, and I think you'll agree, their past. They need to know their past as individuals as well as a country. And people have fought and bled and died for us to have the privilege and honor of voting. And if you don't vote, keep your mouth shut. I've said it many times. Somebody may disagree with me out there in radio land, but that's my opinion, and I have a right to it because I live in this country.
Right. And that is the truth.
It is the truth. Mm-hmm. And thank you for agreeing with me.
Yes, oh yes.
I want to go back to the beads. And this is a personal opinion I have formed of you just from watching you, because I'm a people watcher. And I think you were born in the wrong era.
Oh, I totally agree.
Do you?
Completely and totally agree.
You love the fashions from the 20s, the 30s.
50s and
60s. You don't like the
40s. No 40s. That was an anomaly. That was very strange.
You didn't like the 40s?
No 40s. I didn't like the full skirts, and they were too short for the big full shoulders. I just did not like the 40s at all, but adored 20s, 30s, 50s and 60s.
And you have those designers that you like now, don't you?
Yes.
So who's one of your favorite designers that you, if you get a chance, would buy their clothing or?
Oh, well, of course, Chanel, Dior, adore all of that. You know, everything that they do, maybe more in the past. And
what about Gloria Vanderbilt? She's just recently passed.
Oh, well, yes. But then, well, she did the blue jeans, of course, that we know from the 90s.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe I owned one pair of blue jeans in my entire lifetime. You know, I'm just not a blue jeans person.
You're not a blue jean girl, are you? Even with the heels nowadays, they're wearing blue jeans with stilettos.
No, you
don't wear a lot of slacks.
Maybe if I had to rake leaves, I may put a pair on. But I don't even have a pair. I don't. It's just not me.
That's just not you. Mm-hmm. I know your love for fashion came from your mother.
Yes.
And
yes.
That was something growing up in this beautiful home. And your parents attended lots of events in there in Chattanooga. And you shared with me once about watching your mother dress.
Yes, I just adored that. Well, they belonged to the country club. And then also, mother was active in this Chattanooga Symphony and Opera and the DAR.
Of course, you can't live in the South and not be... are you a member of the DAR?
No, I'm not. And I started the process a few years ago. And but
did you get bogged down? My mother did. She started it, got bogged down, and I was going to pick it up when I retired. Haven't done it yet.
I know. Teaching school and then raising the four children by myself. I had four teenagers at once. And then also getting my master's and my EDS back to back.
My hat's off to you, lady.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, but I would love to watch her at a very young age, 5 and 6 and 7, get ready to leave or dress to go out for a meeting. And way back in, you know, the 50s, we would have help in the house. And so the help would take care of everything else. And I could just watch my mother get into her beautiful slip and put on her lovely blouse and her jewelry.
It's like watching a movie for you, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. I memorized every movement, and I just adored it. And then she and my daddy would have date nights on Friday night, and they would be... She would be so beautiful, and he would be so handsome.
Just elegance personified.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
now, do your granddaughters, I know you've got a new one, a little bitty one.
Yes, Carolyn Gray.
Yes. But does Elizabeth and Katie Kate, as you call her.
And Rebecca. Yeah. Yes.
Do they watch you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Do they?
They do. They
you
do.
You didn't tell them they could. This is just something that's inborn in them, you suppose?
Right. And maybe Elizabeth isn't quite exactly the girly girl that Kate is and Rebecca. But when we take trips, she will not balk at all about wearing gloves and carrying the little handbag and wearing the pearls.
Have you given all of them pearls?
Oh, yes.
Of course you have. What about your daughters? Do you give them pearls?
Oh, yes. In fact, my Rachel, when she was in school, one of the teachers called her the pearl girl.
Oh, the pearl girl. Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, you're the pearl lady then for sure. But anyway, it is being passed on. I love that it's being passed on through the generations. And those little girls that are your granddaughters now will probably pass it on to their children. I wouldn't be a bit surprised, would you?
I wouldn't either. No, but they love to open my jewelry case and just, you know, I say, look at everything, but put everything back just where it's supposed to be, because when Mimi's in a big hurry, I know where every ring is, every bracelet, every necklace, and I have to grab
it. You have
it
to
and
grab
dash.
It, and Mimi goes at 95,000 miles an hour.
I do.
Yes,
I do.
You do go at
I'm
fast
always dashing.
Speed, and that's in the car too, isn't it?
Yes. I know every state trooper, every officer.
Between here and Nashville.
Yes. And I knew them all from on 111 from Chattanooga to Cookeville.
We're out of time. And that's probably a good thing, Lori, because I know you've got to dash off to Nashville and other places in Tennessee today because of your political agenda. And thank you so much for coming talking with me. I've had a good time.
I have too. I've had a ball.
And we'll have you back sometime when you decide you want to run for office. That's
okay.
What we'll do. We'll have you back. But thank you again, Lori, so
thank
much.
You so sweetly, Judy.
Appreciate it. You folks have a good rest of this Monday. God bless, and we will see you. We'll talk to you next Monday. Have a good one.